This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
New Year's Eve, 4th of July, of course, Christmas, and the charity golf tournament that the Locker supports, which means I get a chance to see Smoking Al Koken, Langway, to get to see a lot of my Puck brothers out for a round of golf. And I would trust that this year that will continue, Brother Koken. Please tell me I'm right.
Brother Walker, great to be with you as always. Is Coach Sheehan out scouting, recruiting? What's going on?
Well, there's a rumor that, and again, of course, I'll get the blame for this.
Right.
But people have said that they assume he's on a yacht
somewhere
involved maybe in strategic planning with the ownership group about the draft. Some say
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. Some say that he is back in Augusta for a round. I mean, there's been all kind of speculation, but I'll get blamed for it, so I'm not going to say anything.
Well, it's great to be with you. I appreciate mentioning the golf tournament. Listen, it's once again this year. It's the Norbeck Charity Classic. It takes place, and this is one of the reasons why I love everybody to sign up, because we know – and there are just way too many wonderful charities that have Monday golf tournaments. And you know that better than anybody, Doc, because you're involved with many of them. We get invitations, and how do you say yes to one and no to the others? Well, this is a Friday golf tournament.
Wow.
So shotgun start at 1 o'clock. So at Norbeck Country Club on Friday, June 21st, so you can start your weekend off great. Full lunch. Full dinner afterwards, of course, beverages and everything on course. It's also for people who don't play golf. We've got a pickleball tournament. And if you just want to attend the dinner, because the dinner, besides being the food outstanding, Craig always has unbelievable live and silent auction items. So many capital stuff, so many amazing Ovechkin and Backstrom and Oshie paraphernalia, jersey sign, things like that. Just incredible stuff. So if you can't make it out for golf or you don't golf and you want to come out for the dinner, we can do that as well. So all of this is taken care of. If you go to Norbeck, NORBECKCC.com, you can sign up, and we'd love to have everybody come out. So many of our Capitals and NBC and Monumental Sports brethren and sisters will be there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So June 21st, Friday afternoon, and also a couple hole-in-one contests, chance to walk away with $10,000 or the big game experience package that includes tickets to the big game. So there's plenty to do, plenty of fun. So we appreciate everybody if they sign up at norbeckcc.com.
I tell everyone that'll listen when I get on the microphone that you started feeding me and nurturing me with hockey in 1980 in the history of that it was Save the Caps, that we were in jeopardy of losing the franchise. And that means so much because we went through a similar situation trying to get baseball back. We didn't have baseball when I got here. And I remember doing the Islanders playoff game, and because I worked for George at Channel 4, And he was so passionate about hockey at a time where a lot of people didn't understand the value. And he was such a champion for it. And then, so I got Scotty Stevens, Langway, all these guys, Don Beaupre was between the pipes when I'm there. And I'm like, wow, these dudes are the nicest people in all of sports. And the atmosphere and everything about it. And then you're still on that ice. And so you've had all these experiences from this time. So where does it rank with you? What just that? What we just experienced? Because all I could think about is, yeah, we're losing our mind. This team, it makes it to the playoffs, the empty netter, the whole nine yards. But for Al Kokin, who's seen all of this history from everything we've seen, to the black uniforms, oh, everything, where does this stand with you?
Doc, I can tell you these last couple of games has been as nervous as I've been in a long, long time. You know, there's great excitement in doing this job. And if you don't get, a little nervous before you go on live TV, get out of the business. But this was a different type of nerves because, listen, you certainly root for these guys because you get to know them, you get to, spend some time with them, and you realize, as you said, there are just so many quality people that have played in this organization and that, that Washington fans certainly recognize and appreciate. But to go through what they did this year, I mean, I said this on our postgame show the other night, look at the roster in game one of the season and look at the roster in game 82 of the season. I mean, you started the season with, arguably a guy who I feel should eventually end up in the Hall of Fame and certainly is one of the great players in Washington Capitol history, Nick Backstrom. You had Evgeny Kuznetsov, the hero of the Stanley Cup run in 2018. Yeah. You had Anthony Mantha, who early on in the season, the one line that was actually really consistent and working well was Mantha with Connor McMichael and Alexi Protas. You had eventually getting into the lineup, big physical defenseman in Joel Edmondson, go on and on and on. And then you end up in game 82 with none of the guys that I just mentioned. Oh, and by the way, your second pairing of Rasmus Sandin and Nick Jensen are out with injuries, and now you're bringing up a kid in Vincent Iorio who's played a handful of games in the National Hockey League, and a guy named Dylan McElrath who is a veteran player but has only played around 70 games and has only played one game for you this year. Oh, by the way, use those guys to win the two most important games of the year. And you look at it and you're like, how did they get this done? And I think that's a testament to the leadership group that is still on this team, led by the captain, the guys that remain from the 2018 championship. I can't say enough about what John Carlson has been down the stretch. He had, in the last five games, three games of where he played over 29 minutes. Now, that's half a hockey game. Think about that for a second, and the way he played, both on defense, blocking shots, killing penalties, things like that, the grind of that. Oh, by the way, and then start contributing key goals the whole time. You can go up and down the lineup. And then the last thing to me, and it's been something that I've really admired as the season has gone on, what this coaching staff has done with this group. Because as I said, it started out a very veteran group. And then you had to bring in younger players. You had to bring in new faces. You had to, continually adjust your lineup based on, players in, players out, who's coming up, who's coming out. Veteran guys. Oh, now we're going to mix in young guys. What Spencer Carberry and his staff has done this year has been nothing short of amazing to me. And you can see why the Capitals were so excited to hire him. He was on the radar a number of other teams, but I think because he had been in this organization before, knew the quality of the leadership from Brian McClellan and the ownership group with Ted Leonsis, he was comfortable coming back here, and you can see why they wanted him, because he has handled this masterfully. And the same thing with his assistant coaches, Mitch Love, as I mentioned, all these new faces on defense, and yet he mixed and matched and got them through these last three very important games where they had to win, and they delivered record against really quality teams. So, you know, Kirk Muller running the power play, Scott Allen, you know, running the penalty kill. It just amazing. And then Charlie Lindgren, you know, what can you say about this guy? He came in as a backup, has never played this many games at any level professionally. But once he grabbed the job, he kept it. And, you know, six shutouts. I mean, come on, it's amazing to see. So cobble all that together, and you can see why this team was such an amazing story to even make the playoffs.
Well, you taught me when a netminder stands on his head. I'll never forget that lesson you taught me. And watching him, I mean, it's amazing, because I say it's the only sport I've ever seen where your regular season record is irrelevant. The president's stature is irrelevant.
Yep.
Because the last play, we've been in that position before. And I've been in that arena when we've lost. We lost to Philly one time. I almost cried sitting in the arena. And the sudden part of when it's over and you lose and you got the president's cup title, it don't matter. Nothing matters. But that guy in between the pipes, what is it about him that allowed him to play with the consistency in which he did? And I know you all taught me the people in front that during this time of the year throw their body in front of them pucks and do all the things to create traffic and all that. But he's made some glove saves that I can see that I go, you got to be kidding me. How's he doing it?
Well, it's funny because he's a relatively quiet guy. But a guy that has got a great deal of confidence, and when he plays the game, plays it with a little bit of swagger. You know, all his teammates call him Chucky. He's got the sideburns. He's got the mustache. He looks like the Outlaw, and that's kind of one of his nicknames. And, you know, so he's just one of these guys that has always burned to be in this position. Undrafted guy. Bounced around with different organizations. As I said, has never really, you know, come close to playing at this many games at any professional level, let alone in the National Hockey League. But that's the sort of guy, that kind of has that inner burn inside of him. I mean, Doc, I'm talking to a guy who was picked up by the Washington Redskins on the waiver wire, and I know you personally, and I guarantee that anybody who ever spent any time with you and knew your story, that inner burn to prove everybody wrong, to prove, hey, I not only belong here, I can thrive here, as you did with your career. It's the same thing. And Charlie's always had that the kind of the quietness, the nice guy, that's a great demeanor. But what burns inside of him, and because of that, he, I think, has then refined his game. Now, Scott Murray, the goaltending coach, he said how much they've worked together on certain things. But he finally has gotten the opportunity to do this. And he's excelled at it. And I think it's one of the great stories, because there are people who, you know, who toil anonymously and never get that chance. But once Charlie got the chance, and once Charlie was put in a position where this is a big game, win it for us. Now another big game, win it for us. Well, when you start running those big games together, suddenly you became the man. And I think he's reached out and grabbed that role and has just been brilliant at it. You talk about the glove, man, he's made some not only unbelievable glove saves, but the quickness. He's great down low. His positioning is outstanding. He doesn't give up big rebounds. He's been a great story. And yeah, I mean, it's in the postseason, a hot goaltender can change an entire series. And that's why, as big an underdog as the Caps are going to be going into this series, he's one of the main reasons why they can pull off an upset.
Rest. I guess you do go off adrenaline in playoffs, but physically, are they going to be in a position to compete at the highest level at 3 o'clock on Saturday?
Yeah. I mean, the Rangers, you know, could lay off a little bit as they wrapped up their season, where the Caps had that intensity. But I tell you what, Doc, that the other thing that is we've seen, like the perfect example is last year. And I'm not saying this is going to happen, but you just talked about it in hockey. The last team that made the playoffs last year We're the Florida Panthers. One of the last two teams ended up playing hockey at the end of the year was the Florida Panthers. Right? I mean, it's improbable. It doesn't happen all the time. But this isn't one of those, you know, once-in-a-lifetime things where, oh, my God, this, we've never seen this before. We see this all the time in hockey. So, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt the Rangers deserve to be the favorite in this. But the Caps are playing with some house money. And I also know enough about this team that they are loving the fact that everybody is acting like, ugh, this is going to be one of the worst teams ever to make the playoffs because their goal differential was so horrendous. And there's been no team ever has been had a goal differential near 40, you know, minus 40, blah, blah. They're eating that up. They love the fact that people are acting like this is an abomination that a team of this big, bad a goal differential even makes the Stanley Cup playoffs. This is music to their ears. So, yeah, there's a lot of things they got going for them if they're going to pull this upset.
And the important thing to me is that Ovi appears to be healthy. When I watched LeBron the other night, I put Ovi in that category about guys that have been great their entire career, and yet they're still chugging along. It's like he's peaking now.
Yeah.
Started off slow. Seems like right now he's ready for prime time. And without his original cast, which means a hell of a lot to anybody that's used to certain people. And
no
I think he's now
it.
Turned this thing around. So where do you see Ovechkin?
Well, you mentioned the rest. You know, it's always great for the game of hockey when Alexander Ovechkin is at an all-star game. He's an entertainer. People love him. You know, his teammates or the guy he's playing against, you know, they all flock to Ovi anytime he's at an event like that. But it was great for him to not be there this year. You know, we've had some fun on the air about, you know, you take the pictures of him and his family riding camels in Dubai and suddenly he's the old Alex Ovechkin when he comes back. Whatever it was, whether it was the rest, whether it was the camels, whatever it was, he came back a different player. He came back the Alex Ovechkin. And right now, he again, like LeBron, when the lights are brightest, when the team needs them the most, they always seem to deliver. And I mentioned what John Carlson has done. Yeah, I mean, you could put Ovi in that same category down the stretch. I mean, I just think that Carlson, you know, the amount of work he got at you know, again, as an old man myself to say at the age of 33, well, for 33, you know, it's getting up there in the miles of a hockey player. And Ovi, 4 or 5 years older than that, it's amazing to see. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. Now that they need him the most, he's delivering. Who scores the first goal the other night? It wasn't a classic Ovechkin goal, but he knows that to get goals now in the playoffs and in this run to the postseason, you had to get to the front of the net. He got to the front of the net and got rewarded for it. So, yeah, this is something where they're leaning on their captain for exactly that reason.
And they have Oshie. I mean, you told me about the spot. What gets me is how a man who's a prolific goal scorer, who's trying to attempt to become the all-time leader in scores and goals scored, has a particular spot. And everybody knows where it's going to be.
Yeah.
And yet he keeps still getting it. That is my. And I know I may not understand why, but that blows my mind.
Well, I mean, are you ever shocked when Steph Curry nails a three, right? I mean, they know it's
coming, but he hits his threes from all over the entire floor.
But one thing that I have noticed as his career has gone on is he is starting to understand you've got to kind of vary the pace. One of the things that kind of turned the Capitals' power play around is him moving. him not being in that same spot all the time. And that was something that Kirk Muller, as I mentioned, a former excellent National Hockey League player, has been a head coach, excellent. It took him better than half a season to finally get these guys to embrace what he's been saying, that, guys, this power play, as good as it's been, and Alex, as good as you've been over there, we're not going to completely remove you, but there are going to be times where we're going to have to give the opposition a different look. You've got to move more. You've got to switch more. You've got to move the puck faster. What worked for you guys in the past is not working anymore because it's become too predictable and too easy to scout and defend. And to the credit of the Capitals, they finally got it to where, yes, Ovi? Oh, my, wait, that's John Carlson standing in Ovi's spot. Look, oh, wait, Ovi's up at the top there. Oh, wait a minute. They've moved around again. Oh, wait a minute. TJ Oshie's down. So suddenly now it's not a power play that looks exactly the same, but they started to get better results. And once you start getting better results, what happens to a player? Right, Doc? They, you know, absolutely. If a coach tells you something, right, and you're like, oh, come on, we've done this so well before, but then suddenly you start doing it better, well, maybe the coach is right. And that's finally what's happened with the Capitals power play. And it's, again, it's a credit to Alex because, yeah, you have a comfort zone. You've been so good there. It's not that they've removed them from that spot always, but at times you've got to give the opposition a different look. And we've seen the opposition, when they think he's going to be there and now he's somewhere else, it's like, well, wait a minute, who goes to cover him over here? I know when he's over there what my role is, but now he's not there. So all those little adjustments and the way they've changed things, again, that's why I give a lot of credit to this coaching staff for how they have stuck with it. You know, they've gotten the team to play with a faster pace. It's amazing. This team is not good when there's a lot of goals scored. They're really good when there's very few goal score. That's why their goal differential is so bad, because they've lost a lot of games by, you know, 3, 4, 5 goals, but they've won a lot of games by one goal. So I think you'd rather have the latter than the former. So you can laugh all you want about the goal differential. They're getting the job done in these close games, and that tends to be the case when you have playoff hockey. Rarely do you see the blowout games in the playoffs. It's usually the one-goal game or the, as I could witness firsthand for myself two different times, the 4-overtime game where you're just begging for something.
Neville?
Yeah, so I kind of had a question. I was wondering, you know, the whole season we've been following Ovi's goal count and his goal scored. Now we're in the playoffs, so that's kind of out the door. Do you think that takes pressure off him in the playoffs at all, or is that something you think is going to impact him at all against the Rangers here?
No, it's one of those things where early on in the season when it wasn't coming to him, when the struggle was there, maybe it impacted. Right now, he's just back to being Ovi. You know, things are working now. Things are working for the entire team now. So I think it's going to have very little impact. One thing I am going to be kind of curious about. You know, you're going against the guy who coached you last year too. You know, Ovi. And even though he loves Bruce Boudreaux, he used to love to drive Boudreaux crazy. Every time he'd play him, he'd look at him on the bench and give him that smile, and Bruce would say, "Don't do it. Don't do it, Ovi. Don't do it." You know, so, you know, he gets like Michael Jordan, right? You know how Michael would find any little tiny thing to psych himself up. Well, I don't think there was a bad relationship, but I'm not suggesting that with Peter Laviolette. But there's always, in Ovi, there's always that way of kind of glancing over there and saying, okay, you coached me once, now you're coaching against me. I'll show you. You know, I'll remind. Those are the things that I always kind of love about Ovi. He always kind of finds a way to find another way to kind of up the ante in his performance. But he's, you know, the way he's playing right now, he's playing with such confidence. And you know, we all know that the way he's kind of back at it now after another 30-goal season, the most 30-goal seasons in the history of the National Hockey League. Now, think about that for a second. Again, you know, these accolades just keep stacking up and stacking up. And, you know, we do see the inevitability that if he continues to play at the pace he played this year, even though it was slow to start, you know, another, you know, put together a couple more 30-goal seasons, and obviously the record is yours. You're the all-time, you know, leading goal scorer in the National Hockey League. So, you know, he's now got that comfort level to where he's just playing hockey and kind of enjoying the ride with his teammates.
Well, Kokin, Saturday, 3 o'clock, puck drops. Can't wait to get you back on to talk about it next week. And, of course, June 21st at Norbeck, the tournament with the Locker. We'll keep talking. We'll keep going. You are one of the original OGs, and happy for your success. And go Caps.
It's going to be fun, Doc. You never know what this group is capable of doing, and it's been fun to watch these guys and cobble themselves together a playoff run. It meant a lot to these guys. I know the veterans that we talked about were really upset that they didn't make the playoffs last year. The injury to Carlson missing about 3 months kind of doomed their season, and that's why it was so special to see the TJ Oshies and the Tom Wilsons and the John Carlsons, the guys who still remain from 2018, how much that meant to them. And that that was fun to see, and fun to see the reward. That locker room was something crazy in Philadelphia, particularly win it in Philly. You know how that's always been a house of horrors
for the Capitals
over the year. To silence the Flyer fans, that made it even sweeter.
And then to get Alan May to pick up a check?
Well,
Did that happen yet?
No. They can change the power play, but there are some things that can't change. We know that.
All right, brother. Nothing but love for you, man. Keep doing your thing. We'll be back in touch with you.
Always great to be with you, Rick. Thanks,
all right,
buddy.
Good deal. One of the original, the OG, Smokin' Al Kokin, or as Aaron would say, Smokin' Al a Kokin, back in the day with Coach Thompson, B. Mitch, Scotty, Solly. I mean, our crew, man. There's so many guys you think about. CJ, the whole nine yards, man. That was a great run, and it's still running, and we're still getting the job done, and that's what matters. To break, we go, and we'll come back. And I think you know exactly what the script is all about, and we'll crank it up right here. Coach Sheehan on assignment. I've been privy to just keep it at that. The BetQL listener line, 301-230-0980, as we clear the way for the Rooster at the top of the hour.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
The Nats are coming home, and you know, big win in L.A. Anytime you sweep Love You Blue at Chavez Ravine, and I think this five-year, the celebration Friday, and go a little bit throwback as the champs who were robbed because of pandemic, we know the story. So I was wondering, does that hit a vibe with you from a heavy metal standpoint? As we go, we reminisce a little bit, but on real time, about, so I've heard the Strauss May show, and it's going to be pretty cool to just, I mean, it's unusual because most teams do get their victory lap. This group did not get that victory lap. That's why I'm all for this.
Yeah, and I also just hate the Astros because the whole trash can thing, so, you know.
Yeah, and, I know what you're saying. I just don't believe they're the only team to cheat it.
No, but that doesn't make cheating okay just because other people cheat, too.
No, I know. MLB, get yourself together. And they were really good, too. The thing about it that really irritated me is that they were really good.
Well, it's like the Patriots getting caught cheating all the time. It's like, you guys are good. You don't even, like, what are you doing? Why are you deflating balls and all this stupid stuff and cameras and stuff? Like, just play. Yeah. You're good enough to
trying
just
to play. Get an edge, though, but you're so driven to get an edge. You know, instead of breaking out early to go drink beer or go play golf, no, they're grinding. They're watching film. Our coach, he slept at the park 3 days.
That ain't cheating.
That's balling.
Don't you want like your team to win the right way? Like, don't you want to just be like, you know, I'm not the kind of guy that's like, man, I hope my team plays the easiest team in the playoffs and then we can get an easy way to win. It's like, no, I want them to beat the best team. I want them to go out there and show everyone they're the best by beating them, not by cheating or taking an easy way or whatever. It's like, I want them to go out there and show everyone that they're the best.
Yeah,
I'm glad the Caps are playing the number one President's Cup team because I want them to go through that. You know, it's like, you beat that team and everybody shuts up about you, you know? It's like, that's what I want. So,
and you also know that what matters in sports is when you peak. When are you playing your best?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the scary part about the Rangers is that unlike most President Cup teams, they haven't been able to just sit back on their laurels. They had to grind a little bit to get it. Most teams are so far ahead, they can pull the plug. They didn't. So they may be sharper than most. I don't know. I still think it's the puck, man. You cannot predict where that puck is going to bounce, how it's going to bounce. Can't do it. I don't care who you are. Can't do it. So that's what the uncertainty in that is what keeps it going to me. It's, man, it's crazy. The uncertainty in all of that. So, you know, we'll see. But is there a heavy metal tune, song? Is it something that moves you, that goes with hockey, it goes with the Caps, that we can maybe use this as a theme?
Well, you know, I actually had them playing in the last couple of days over on B. Mitch and Finley. There's a local metal band called Darkest Hour, and they put out some songs for the Capitals. They're actually rally songs for the Capitals. The Caps had, I guess, asked them to make some songs for them. They play them at the arena sometimes. And so, coincidentally, their guitar players, I went to high school with him. So I texted him up a month or so ago and was like, hey, if you want to send me those songs, maybe we'll play them on the air once in a while, whatever, you know. And so he sent me, you know, they're not like real songs. You wouldn't, you know, they don't have like a full structure, like chorus, verse, court, you know, like whatever. They're made to be played at like the arena, but they're playing them over on B. Mitch and Finley before the last two games against, was it, Tampa and the Philly. And really? Seemed to give them good luck. They won both those games, so, you know.
That is awesome.
Yeah, the song, the one's like Unleash the Fury, one's Rock the Red. You know, they're like Caps songs, you know.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Like Left Hand Up and the whole night. Yeah, I love it when the participation of the bass, it gets in and it touches, man. It's homegrown. And it goes. And if it met Jeff Walker and Landfill's approval, then that's pretty big.
Well, Landfill's out this week, and Jeff played it. So maybe that's why they got to do it, because I don't know if Landfill would have or not.
Okay. So it did.
But I'll tell you, everybody seemed to like it. People were asking who the band was and stuff over there. So it was like, you know, that's cool. And they're a local band. They're from the area. So, you know, that's cool.
Okay. So the Grim Reaper wasn't there. Okay. All right. Well.
Hey. Yeah, Landfill's on vacay this week as well, so
okay.
Maybe he's party machine.
You got to do what you got to do. Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. I'm not mad at you, man. I'm not mad at you at all. But you don't have a version of that you can share.
I have it on the WJFK system. I don't have it on the 980 right now, so I can't play it over here,
right.
Unfortunately.
Well, we might have got in trouble anyway. I don't know if the King would have permitted it. But anyway, you know, that's what we do. If we don't get in some trouble, we're not being ourselves. Yeah, that's good. Weekend, it should be good, though. The ballpark team coming back. I think it's important that it's all about pitching. I mean, Jake Irvin, I mean, it was brilliant. Whenever you can get a good performance and not throw a million pitches, it's what it's all about. Hope great, you know, hope he recovers well. McKenzie, you know, Patrick, that's what it's all about. And, you know, starting pitching, everything is pitching and a pen. They go hand in hand, you know. And Finnegan, it was a beast. I mean, I'll go back to the A's series and, you know, you're going to get rocked. It's pro ball. But how you bounce back. It's what determines your character, man. And big fella came back, bounced back. Proud of this team, man. They come back and get it done. It's about defense, too. I love my teams to be effective on the base path. I do not like teams that don't run. Man, we like jackrabbits. I mean, we get out to take bases. We got guys that are athletic and they run. And Luis Garcia Junior's got a glove, man. Got a glove. We got guys that save you runs. We don't, you know, if you don't score a lot, you can't give up a lot. Duh. Simple math. The key is that you got to put it together. So good for Davey. You know, Davey is, Davey is, he's something, man. It really is up, and it really does come down. It does come down.
This is the team 980. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
It really does come down to your skipper, you know, and that's what it's all about. But The BetQL listener hotline, 301-230-0980. The big fella, Heavy Metal Chris, answering your phone. We got phone lines ringing. Got things going on here. And coach's undisclosed location today. And it's Neil from Rockville should be banned because some of the things he says, I wish I could share them with you, but I can't. So I'm gonna leave it like that. All right, let's go to Falls Church, Virginia. John, welcome to 980.
Hey, Doc, I'm sorry to change the subject on you because I am a Caps fan, but I'm also
this is
to,
your show.
UCLA, thanks. UCLA guy, we've talked before. It's craziness going on. I know this isn't a huge college sports town relative to some places, but it's crazy that every day as a college football coach right now, some guys are showing up for practice and some guys aren't, and some guys are calling the schools and everything. What would your life have been like if every 6 weeks you had an opportunity to change schools, make more money, make less money, and all that? I just wanted to hear your perspective on what's going on these days.
Well, I'm kind of glad that I didn't have to experience that. As lucrative and as exciting as it sounds, I really and truly love my crew. The guys that I got a chance to share dorm rooms with, be broke with, pool money for pizza, pool money for gas, driving jalopies. I mean, that just, these guys now are being robbed. Now, they got some cheddar, as B. Mitch affectionately says. They've got some cheddar, but there's a thing called development, and it's called an experience. And I'm not certain that you should be allowed to transfer after one argument. You know, adults don't always see eye to eye. But I think a cooling off period is really important. And I'm not certain that this is a great system. I don't like the fact that you can change schools within a conference the same year. I think we've got to rethink this. Hopefully they will. And I don't want to rush to any conclusion, but it's the what now, although understand that progress is inevitable. Things aren't going to stay the same. Hell, I watched Ohio State, I watched Alabama spring ball games last week. I watched it. For some people, it was like watching paint dry. I loved every moment of it. Just watching, I understood it's not going to be tackle football. It's development, process. But as a junkie, I mean, for me, it was like, it was satisfaction. 80,000 people at stadiums to watch mock situation of spring ball. I think we're in trouble if we don't set some guardrails to this. I can't say I like seeing kids on campus at 19 driving Maybachs. I think there's going to be, we already have enough people that have been professionals that are dead broke by the time they're 35. Now you're going to see more tragedy at 27, 28. And I'm sure there's a silver lining to it. I just don't know what it is. I honestly think we're in a heap of trouble if we don't correct this immediately. And just admit when we don't know what we don't know.
Am I still on?
Yep, John.
So, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. They're, like, the best defensive player on UCLA today just didn't show up for practice, and he's supposedly going somewhere else now. And forget as a fan, like, I want these kids to make as much money as they can because I think it's been crazy that they have been locked out of the process. But this isn't it. This isn't the way to take the best care of them, just to, you know, make them all be subject to picking as much money as they can or they think they're going to get for 6 months and then watching them get cut from that team or whatever. It's just, it's too much. I wish they'd gotten ahead of it.
Well, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, it's like when someone says, well, how much do I get? I always want to say, just like I do with the pros, when the pros say, I want the bag. Okay, well, what do I get when you're not good? What do I get if we lose? What if I get if we're in last place? Is there a provision in it that I get X amount of percentage back if I'm in last place? So, you know, it's the way it goes, man. It's the art of the negotiation. And I don't mind that for pros. But for college kids, we got to protect them better because they're going to make some bad decisions. And I think we should protect them better. What happens now? 19-year-old. Coach tells him, yells at him. He just leaves. Come on, man. Your parents tell you to go take the trash out. What are you going to do, just leave? And I'm embarrassed that we're actually talking about this and we're telling the truth. Because I wish you were joking. But you're serious. The fact that SC took the coordinator, paid him more, and UCLA had his best season defensively in 100 years, and a private school could take a state-run school and just offer more money, the guy's gone. That's called free enterprise. I'm not mad at him. Got to support his family. But it does make you wonder, you know, about the system. But we've been playing this game forever the same way. And I don't think you can come up and say sour grapes when it doesn't work your way. The key is coach them up better. That's all you can do. Because not every team is loaded wins. You know, SC's coach made, I think, what, $19 million last year? Did you see how bad they were? And their defense is awful. Yeah, so money doesn't buy you. That's the one thing about it so far. Money can't make you win if you suck. And that's the good news. Hey, John, appreciate you calling, man. Let's take a break. And heavy metal, we are running up to the 1 o'clock hour, and you know what that means. Oh, boy, limousines are moving up in front of the station. Trumpets going off. And the one and only Rooster approaches the building. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is the Kevin Sheehan Show. DOC, DHing for Brother Sheehan, who's on special assignment. And I'm going to leave it at that. Don't make no joke. And Neil from Rockville, stop it. Seriously. I have to hold some composure doing this show. Otherwise, I won't be able to do it again. Is this the great Ian? Vienna on three? Tell me I'm lying. Ian?
Yeah, you got me, Doc.
Wow. I'm honored. Honored.
Yeah.
To have a Sheehan regular. This is big.
So, can I chime in on this transfer portal eligibility?
Ian, you can
issue?
Do whatever you... Brother, it's wide open to you. You're royalty.
Yeah, so... While I agree that sometimes it's good to have some guardrails in place, I think this notion that young people don't want to be coached or yelled at or communicated to sternly like they were back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, or whenever is just not true. Like, I have two young boys, and there are times when I'm harsher with them, but I have to understand how to communicate with kindness, too. Like you said, John Wooden said, for every... 10 statements, you have to give 9 compliments for 1 piece of criticism. And that was in a complete different era. So for me, I think there are yellers and screamers in college today, Tom Izzo or Dan Hurley or Nick Saban, and they can communicate properly with their players, understanding that they have to also not rule like a dictator. What's happened in college is for so long, the power has been so one-sided with the coaches, where they have total autonomy, total dictatorship, etc. And that balance of power has shifted a little bit towards the athlete. Has it overswung the pendulum where athletes have tons of free agency, if you will? Maybe, but I also think this notion that every player is going to transfer every year, those are the exceptions to the rule. Most players stay 4 years or maybe transfer once. And I just don't think it's the pandemic or epidemic that people think, where you have all these players just going through the motions and just quitting on their team and trying something new. I think they're trying to find the right fit. And we've seen it work over time. The same schools are good pre-nil, post-nil. The same schools are good pre-BCS, post-BCS. It's not like, oh, we have this new era and all of a sudden you have a complete new set of schools. It's the same people, Michigan, Alabama in basketball, Duke, Carolina. The same schools are still at the top. So it's not the game changer that these coaches want to make it seem like it is. And when you get Gary Williams and all these old guard coaches who are like, I can't coach like this today. Well, you adapt all the time. Society evolves. This notion that you have to coach like you did 50 years ago now, that's ludicrous. You don't do anything in your life the same way you did 50 years ago. You evolve. So I expect coaches who make an insane amount of money and they actually have annual free agency, they can learn to evolve and they can learn to communicate better and treat people with kindness while also coaching them. So I just sometimes think people are so resistant to change that anytime something changes, oh, it's the wild, wild west. It's not the wild, wild west. It's the same darn schools winning year over year, the same coaches winning year over year. So I don't think anything's changed. It's just changed the way we perceive it and the power dynamic between the coach and the athlete. So that's
very well stated. There. No, very well stated. And if you can coach, you can coach. You get good players, and kids that want to do things the right way will do it. It still comes down to team first. You're going to get some people that are just selfish by nature and others that want the prize, and I appreciate that. And I hope the coach gets a chance to hear that you were treated with dignity, class, and respect, and you deserve that, even when he's here. And I hope you get it the next time he's here. Paulie, on line two.
Doc, hell to the W, man. What's going on?
Hey, man, it's good. I can't believe it. You call, and we got a minute to go in the show. I go, what's up?
I will let,
you
let
know
me
the
get,
clock.
Let me hop right to it then, man.
Okay.
So you said they got the limousines backing up for 1 o'clock?
Well, he's kind of a big thing, you know. Yeah.
The pulling up.
Huh?
The food trucks are pulling up. The food trucks are pulling up at 1 o'clock, bro.
Come on, man. Give him a break. Give him his due.
They lining up outside the door right now, man. Hey, look, shout out to Sheen, man. Cause you know what? Because I was talking to Sheen. I was chit-chatting with Sheen last night. And I said what you said, Doc. I said, look, they brought all these people together, all these quarterbacks, all these players together. They're trying to find out who the alpha is.
Exactly.
Who gravitates around who. You know
exactly.
What I mean? Who's the top dog in this group, man? That's one thing you can observe by bringing all those people together, man.
I believe
you know
that.
What I'm saying? And we know where Sheen is at, man. It's not a coincidence. I'm going to tell you what. Just put together the clues. Everybody putting together draft clues. I'm going to put together where is Sheen clue. Sheen is with Jaden Daniels. Now, it's not a coincidence that Jaden Daniels come in town yesterday, and now all of a sudden Sheen is gone today. Wherever Jaden Daniels is at, Sheen is carrying his bag, man. That's where Sheen is at today, man.
Good move, Paulie.
Get out of here.
Good move.
Hey, look, let me say this about Iron real quick. Talk to me in 5 years, Iron, because this NIL is changing things. I think the football schools are running things right now. We've seen that with Kentucky. They couldn't pull nobody ahead, a top name coach away. Because nobody wanted, because Kentucky didn't have that NIL money. Now you look at a school like Alabama, you know, they couldn't even get Alabama coach. Why would he leave? Because Alabama is a big dog in football. They got a lot of NIL money, and he's flying under the radar. So I think the football schools are the schools are going to start running things, even when it comes to these basketball teams and basketball coaches.
Well, we shall see. On that note, we got to roll. Heavy Metal, you are, as Coach would say, simply one of the best. The Rooster is the next voice you will hear right here on the radio. DOC, I'm out.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.